It wasn't supposed to end this way. Growing up, identical twin sisters Alexandria and Anastasia Duval were as close as any two human beings could be. They were more than just identical twins. They were soulmates. When their mother died at just 5 years of age, it forced them to get close to one another and rely upon each other for everything. They schooled together, they lived together, they worked together, and eventually they opened a business together. They were so close that they would finish one another's sentences. Friends described them as being inseparable. But along the way, something crept into their relationship that neither one of them expected. Because they were so close to each other, they didn't take it seriously at first. No one thought that anything could separate Alexandria and Anastasia Duval. So they paid no attention to the outside force that gradually became a part of their relationship. It started out with something small, a little word of disagreement, and then a harsh reply. But then, over the years, it took root and grew. The once happy sisters started quarreling. Their arguments became public, with witnesses describing fist fights and pulling of hair and shouting at one another. The root of bitterness took hold in their hearts, and the fruit of bitterness was soon to follow. And so it was 3 weeks ago, on May 29th, the twin sisters started arguing yet again. Multiple witnesses described the scene where the sisters were yelling and cursing at each other. They got into their car and began driving down the road, but even in the car, they continued their fight. Anastasia started pulling Alexandria's hair and grabbed for the steering wheel, and Alexandria became so enraged she pushed the accelerator and intentionally drove the car off the road. Car crashed at the bottom of a hill. Anastasia was killed instantly, and the police came and charged Alexandria with murder. It wasn't supposed to end this way, with a wrecked car at the bottom of a hill, one sister dead and the other charged with murder. But a bitter root produces bitter fruit that always leads to a bitter end. And the soul bound by bitterness ends in destruction. Bitterness divides the closest friends. It splits churches. It causes marriages to collapse. It leads to civil war. But most of all, bitterness binds your soul. If you allow bitterness to take a root in you, it will produce a fruit in you and it will lead to disaster. That's why it's so important to understand today how you can prevent bitterness from binding your soul. For you see, God has a solution for you today. He knows the hurt you've passed through. He knows the pain of betrayal. After all, he himself was betrayed. He knows your weaknesses and the struggles and the emotions that come up when people do you wrong. He knows the power of bitterness lurking inside your heart. And he's given you grace, abundant grace. He's given us the grace that we can face this enemy and overcome it. That's why David wrote in Psalms 124, 7-8, "Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken, and we have escaped, for our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." And that's the good news for all of us today. Your soul can be free from the trap of bitterness. No matter how badly you've been hurt, no matter how many people have wronged you, God has an answer for you today. He wants to liberate your soul. Your help is in him, and he will come to help you when you turn to him and open your heart to receive and obey his truth. So before we learn the truth, let's ask that God to help us. Would you pray? Almighty and everlasting, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are such a good, good Father. You know all about us. You know what people have done to us. You know the pain lurking in our hearts today. You know the struggle we face with bitterness. I pray today, Lord, that even as you've been a good Father to love us and forgive us, so fill our hearts today with that same love and forgiveness. Help us to loose and release our offenders, even as you desire to loose and release us. We submit to you right now, and I bind every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that would suck us down into a pit of destruction, we command it to go in Jesus' name. And I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts, to convict our hearts, to minister healing and grace to our hearts today. We thank you by faith that at the end of this service, your name will be glorified and we will be liberated. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to take just a minute and pray with me. Would you lift up your hand right now and say after me, my soul has escaped. My help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Good morning, everybody, once again. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. I'm glad you're here today as we continue our sermon series called Solutions. We've been on a journey to discover the soul, why it's important, and what we can do to have a good and a healthy soul. And God's been blessing us as we've learned that the soul is the most important part of you. See, the soul is the part of you that holds all the other parts together. The soul is the part of you that connects with God. For the Bible tells us in Genesis 3 that when God breathed into Adam, Adam became a living soul. And that's why when your soul is healthy, the rest of your life will be balanced as well. But if you neglect your soul, your entire life will fall apart. Even if things are going well for you physically and relationally and financially and in your career, if you won't have a good, healthy soul, your life will eventually go out of control. Jesus himself taught us, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Yet here's the problem all of us face today. Every day, in and out, our lives and our souls are being attacked by outside forces that are trying to pull it down and destroy it. We have the enemy, the devil, who wants to bind your soul. We have the fleshly desires that wage war against your soul. We have the temptation lurking in us, trying to pull down our soul. But perhaps the greatest attack against our souls comes from the enemy we're going to look at today, the enemy of bitterness. Now, to help us face this enemy and overcome him, we've printed sermon notes. You'll find yours inside your bulletin. It looks like this. And I want to invite you to take it out right now and follow along with me as we discover how we can overcome bitterness and possess a liberated soul. There at the top of your notes, you'll find our scripture text for today. It's found in Hebrews 12, 15. It's the second scripture listed on page one, just under the Psalms, which I just read to you. And I believe that as it's on your notes and on the screen, God would encourage us today to read it out loud, for when we put the word of God on our lips and in our heart, it has an impact in our lives. So let's read Hebrews 12, 15 together. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. In this simple verse, we have the keys to understanding and overcoming bitterness. And here's your first truth today. Bitterness has a dangerous root. If you would, pick your pen and fill in the blanks with the words dangerous root. Listen again to what Hebrews 12, 15 says. It is a poisonous root of bitterness. Now, think with me for a moment on why did God use this word root? Well, in the natural realm, the root is what stores up the water and the nutrients to send it to the rest of the plant. The root anchors the plant into the ground and provides it a protection that sinks it down deep. And in the same way, a root of bitterness stores up the offenses of what has happened to you and begins to permeate your entire life with those offenses. When we have bitterness, we've stored up the crimes people have committed against us. And that same root of bitterness anchors us to the past. It anchors us to what people have done. Bitterness holds you down. And here's what you need to understand today. You don't have a choice about whether or not other people will do bad things to you. If you're a living, breathing human being, somebody somewhere is out to get you and pull you down. Everybody has enemies. Even our critics have critics. If you believe it, say amen. But you do have a choice regarding how you respond to the wrong done to you. Will you store it up in a bitter root, or will you let it go and have a liberated soul? For whether you like it or not, you're going to be offended. It happens to rich people, poor people, old people, young people, educated, uneducated. Leaders face it. White people, black people, everybody faces offense. Even Jesus was under a constant attack by people offending him and treating him wrongly. That's why Jesus said in Luke 17:1, it is impossible that no offenses should come. The fact is, even people you love and even people who love you will from time to time offend you. Reminds me of the story of the man and his wife. One night, the wife had a dream and she woke up in the middle of the night and shook her husband and said, I just had a dream. And in the dream, you gave me a beautiful gold necklace. What do you think it means? The man said, well, I'm sleeping. Next week is Valentine's Day. Wait till then, you'll find out. Well, a few days later, the wife had another dream, and she dreamed that the husband gave her a beautiful diamond necklace. And so she woke the husband up and said, I dreamed you gave me a diamond necklace. What does it mean? He said, wait till Valentine's Day. You'll find out then. Well, on the morning of Valentine's Day, she had another dream. She woke up, and in this dream, the husband had given her a pearl necklace. And she woke him up and said, dear, I dreamt you gave me a pearl necklace. What do you think it means? He said, wait till tonight. You'll find out. That night, she was so excited when the husband came home with the package. She ripped it open, and inside she found a book. A book! And she looked at the husband and said, why did you give me a book? And he pointed to the title. The title of the book was How to Interpret Dreams. People will offend you. People will do you wrong. Even people you love will make mistakes and you will be disappointed. Your expectation will exceed reality. We're all imperfect people, and the fact is, imperfect people hurt one another, even those they love. So you've got a choice. You can rub it in or rub it out. For offenses will come. Men will betray you. People will mistreat you. They did it to Jesus. They'll do it to you. But you cannot avoid offenses, so you've got to decide today. Will I become bitter or will I become better? For the fact is, when you store up offenses and things others have done against you, it produces a toxic substance in your soul. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And that bitterness will store up not only the offense of others, but your own offenses. Bitterness is like a person who drinks poison and expects their enemy to die. If you drink poison, your enemy won't die. You will. And that's why God commands us in 1 Corinthians 13:5 and says, love keeps no record of wrongs. And some of us came in here today with a long list of records of the wrong done against us by our father, by our mother, by our wife, by our husband, by our sisters and brothers, by our children. And you're here sitting and reciting that list today. But you can't store up those things that people have done against you, for if you do, it will hold you to the past and tie you to the offense. That's why you have to do everything you can today to liberate your soul and call upon the name of the Lord to be free from bitterness. For Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart or your soul above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Many years ago, when my wife and I were living in the Delta area of Nigeria, an incident happened that brought great pain and grief to many people. An Italian company came with a shipload of toxic material. No one else in the world was willing to take this toxic material, but they went to a small village inside the interior of the riverine delta of Nigeria, and they paid the chiefs and the elders a huge sum of money to allow them to bury the toxic substance there. It was sealed up in metal drums, so the village elders said, why not? We're going to get rich. The Italian company dumped their load in the ground and sailed away. But in just a few months' time, that substance began to leak into the ground. The drums were not strong enough to hold the acid, and it seeped into the ground and into the waters. The fish died. Crops died. People got sick and died. And all too late, it was discovered that the toxic waste had leaked out of the drums and was poisoning the soil around the area. It affected everything within hundreds of miles. In fact, we had a friend who had a son born in that time with six fingers. And that's the way bitterness works. You can't seal up your heart and bury it under the ground. Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. You can't push it down deep and put a smile on your face and act happy. You have to deal with the root. You have to bring the root up to light. Even if your enemy won't confess, God can bring that root to light and remove it. Some of you have had things done to you so horrible, you can't even speak them. You've never told anybody about the abuse, the violence. You've been mistreated so badly, you're ashamed. You've pushed it down inside of you and put a lid on it. But the toxic poison is still there, and it's going to leak out. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to bring it to Jesus and let him uproot that root. For the only way to free your soul is by the grace and the power of God. Guard your soul against the root of bitterness. Don't let it contaminate your life, for if you do, it will bring the second truth, a deadly fruit. Bitterness begins with a poisonous root, and then it continues to grow and becomes a deadly fruit. Listen to what Hebrews 12:15 says again. The root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. See, the deadly root leads to a deadly fruit. The root cannot be seen, but the fruit is visible to all. And so it is with someone who's bitter. We may not know when, we may not know what happened, but deep down in your heart, we can see the evidence of bitterness because the way you talk and the way you act. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, 44 to 45, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And you may never have told anybody what was done to you, but if a root of bitterness is in your heart, we can see it by what you speak. It will come out. That's what happened to Leonard and Carrie Eglint. Leonard and Carrie Eglin seemed to have the perfect life. He was a military officer. She was a mom and a wife. They had a beautiful 6-year-old daughter. They lived in a lovely, luxurious, comfortable home. Everything seemed wonderful on the outside, but appearances can be deceiving. Behind the peaceful exterior, a dark shadow had crept into their home. Minor disagreements turned into major warfare. Offenses were not forgotten. The same old arguments repeated themselves over and over again. And slow simmering anger watered a root of bitterness. And suddenly one night, the root exploded and produced a fruit. On the night of August 26, 2011, Leonard Eglint stormed into their home. He shot and killed his wife and 2 other people. Then he drove 3.5 hours north, broke into the home of his mother-in-law, shot and killed her. And with the police closing in, he shot and killed himself. The community was shocked. How could this happen? They seemed so happy. Things looked so perfect. But what was hidden from view had now grown into a fruit that everyone could see. The outward signs that led to death were bitterness in the heart, a root that brought a fruit. It wasn't a sudden fit of rage. It was a slow-burning fire. So what are the signs of bitterness in your life? Here's 4 signs to think about. First of all, when you're bitter, we curse it. Everybody take your pen and fill in the blank with curse it. You can see a bitter person by the way they speak. Everybody they don't like, anybody who's done them wrong, they call them all kinds of names and curses and insults. That idiot, that's stupid. Don't you see what she's done? Don't you see how he behaves? They curse other people. But the Bible warns us in James 3, 9 and 10, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. We curse it, and then number 2, we nurse it. We find any reason we can to feed that bitterness. We go over it in our minds, and we see everything that happens to that person as evidence of God's judgment. If they have an accident, or they trip and fall, or any misfortune that comes their way, we secretly and inwardly rejoice. We say, ha, see, God is showing how wicked they are. But the Bible warns us in Proverbs 24, 17, don't rejoice when your enemy falls. Don't be happy when they stumble. Because even though they've fallen, it's an indication you have a root of bitterness in your heart. We curse it, we nurse it, and then number three, we rehearse it. We go about gossiping and criticizing and slandering. We talk about them everywhere. We're on the phone night and day. Did you see what I saw at Agape House? Did you see what I saw over here? Did you see what I saw? The way they dress, the way they this, the way, in fact, that Obruni pastor, I don't know. But the Bible warns us in James 4:11, don't speak evil against each other. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. Dear brothers and sisters, I love James, don't you? You know, don't you speak evil, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. And friends, we need to examine our hearts today. And the way you examine your heart is by listening to your words. For the words reveal what's in your heart. And if you're repeating people's sins and rejoicing in their downfall and speaking ill of them all the time, it's a sign of something's wrong in your soul. So let me ask you a question today. Why is it that we think that visible sins are worse than invisible sins? Why do we condemn the way someone dresses, but we say nothing about gossip from our mouth? Which is worse? A lady with a dress too short, or a lady whose heart is filled with hatred, pride, and bitterness? Because Jesus reserved his strongest rebuke not to the prostitutes and their dressing, but to the temple goers and their arrogance. Which is worse, a man who smokes a cigarette, or the man who secretly keeps a mistress in every foreign city he goes to on business? I don't condone immodest dressing. I don't condone cigarette smoking. But neither do I condone we in the church having a holier-than-thou, self-righteous attitude that talks and talks and talks about other people, ignoring the sin in our own heart. Sister, if you came here today wearing an outfit that shows more flesh than fabric, please do me a favor. Go home and change. Show some respect for God. When you come next week, wear kaba and slit. And sister, if you came here today with a heart full of pride and self-righteous arrogance, do me a favor. Go home and repent. I thought you'd clap for that. Because you can wear your long sleeve and turtleneck, but there's no long sleeve long enough to hide the sin in your heart. You leave the church and you're out in the car park talking about, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? God have mercy on your soul. You can wear your sleeve to your fingers and your dress to your floor, but God's not looking at your dress. He's looking at your heart. And I read my Bible from cover to cover, and Jesus never condemned the prostitutes and the way they dressed. He condemned the Pharisees who damned them to hell and wouldn't open the door of the temple for them. Here's what I'd like you to do. If you see somebody today that's dressed inappropriately, keep your mouth shut. Go up to that sister, put your arm around her and say, dear, I'd like to buy you a new outfit. I dare you. I dare you. Tell your neighbor, I dare you. Yeah. You want to do something about the problem? Buy her a kaba and slit. You want to do something about the problem? Stop gossiping and slandering. Get your heart right with God and go put your arm around the ladies in our church who need some advice and buy them a new dress that goes as long as you like. We need to stop hating, stop criticizing, stop condemning, stop gossiping, stop slandering. We don't want to compromise with the truth. We want to stand for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But let's speak the truth in love. For if we don't deal with the bitterness in our hearts, we will only endanger our souls and endanger those around us. We curse it, we nurse it, we rehearse it, and then four, we disperse it. Oh yeah, we're good at that, because the bitterness inside of us affects everywhere. And if you don't deal with the bitterness in your soul, it's not only going to destroy you, it will destroy everyone around you. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you. Listen to me carefully. What's not healed is handed down. The offense and hurt in your heart that you don't bring to God to get healed and freed from, you're going to pass it on to someone else. Dads, happy Father's Day. If you've got a broken relationship with your father, if you don't get it healed, you're going to pass that broken relationship to your sons. You're going to do to your children what your dad did to you. For what's not healed is handed down. That's why Galatians chapter 5 says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. That's the lesson we learned from what happened on Sunday, April 12th, last year in Milwaukee, USA. Family was having a birthday party. The kids were playing and laughing. 2-year-old Damani Terry was at the party, and after a few minutes, he broke away from his friends, and before anyone could stop him, little 2-year-old Damani Terry ran out into the street. A car was coming, driven by Archie Brown. Archie tried to stop. He slammed on his brakes, but there was nothing he could do. It was too late. Archie Brown slammed into 2-year-old Damani Terry and killed him on the spot. Archie got out of the car, distraught and upset, went to see if he could help little Damani Terry, but Damani's uncle wasn't to be pacified. Damani's uncle went in and got a gun and came out and shot Archie Brown. Revenge for killing my nephew. But Archie wasn't the only one killed. A stray bullet ricocheted off the car and struck and killed Damani's older brother, Rashid. Rashid had run out to comfort his little brother in his dying moments, and the bullet that struck Archie then hit the car and struck Rashid Childs and killed him. So a 2-year boy mistakenly ran in the street, and somebody accidentally hit him, and somebody came and took revenge and shot the driver, but the bullet now went and killed the older brother. Damani's uncle ran away, but when the police came to get him, he committed suicide. So 4 people died, 1 the result of an accident, 3 the result of revenge. You may think that revenge will release you. You may think that you'll feel better, but the end, it will bring destruction to you and those around you. For as the Bible says in Hebrews 12, when you allow bitterness to grow, it affects many others. You've got to pull up the root. You've got to cut off the fruit. If you curse it and nurse it and rehearse it and disperse it, it will only lead to death. The only solution is to reverse it. Take your pen and fill in the blank at the bottom of page 1. We've got to reverse the curse and stop the spread of bitterness. And then turn your notes over to page 2 and see our third truth for today. The only way we can reverse it is to overcome bitterness through forgiveness. Take your pen and fill the blank with the word forgiveness. And listen again to what Hebrews 12 says. Look after each other. Be aware, be on guard, so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. For if you allow the root of bitterness to take hold, to bring about the fruit of bitterness, it will prevent you from receiving God's grace, and it will prevent others from receiving God's grace. For in order to be forgiven, you have to forgive. In order to be free, you have to free others. So listen carefully to the 3 steps you need to take today to forgiveness. First of all, pull up the root. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word root. Expose the object of your bitterness. Here's the mistake most of us make. We think that we will be better off by ignoring it. So we pretend when someone does us wrong, we pretend. That didn't hurt. I'm not offended. I'm okay. I don't care. It doesn't mean. No problem. But deep inside, the root of bitterness is there. You won't overcome bitterness by ignoring it and pushing it to the side. You've got to bring it to Calvary. Don't minimize your pain. Expose it so God can heal it. For Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's the lesson we learned from the tragic death of Natasha Richardson. On 16th of March 2009, this famous British actress was out playing sport when she accidentally fell down and knocked her head. There was no visible wound, no blood, no sign of anything wrong. And so Natasha jumped up and said, I'm fine, it's nothing. Paramedics were called, but over and over, Natasha Richardson refused medical attention. For the rest of the day, she walked around, she talked, she ate, she acted as if nothing was wrong. But 2 days later, she was dead. Because what she didn't know was that hidden behind her scalp was a bleeding brain that eventually shut down her body. Doctors said later, if they'd known in time, they could have saved her. And that's why you can't pretend you weren't hurt. Bring it out in the open. Your sins were forgiven by God when you brought them in the open, and the healing will come when you bring it to the open. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Sometimes the person who offended you will never confess. It doesn't matter. You can bring it out in the open to God to let him heal you. Pull up the root. Then secondly, you've got to cut off the fruit and cancel the debt. Cut off the fruit. See, here's the truth you need to understand. Forgiveness means giving to someone else what God has given to me. That's why Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. God wants you to forgive and leave the story to him. Vengeance belongs to God. It is never your place to seek revenge. In fact, if you try to get revenge, if you try to punish the wrongdoer who's offended you, you are putting yourself in the place of God. You are acting in idolatry. In southern Africa, there's a tribe called the Ku tribe. They have a strange practice of dealing with vengeance for murder. The Ku believe that the only way to end grief is to save a life. So if someone is murdered in the Ku tribe, they have a year of mourning. Then at the end of the year of mourning, all the family of the murdered person must gather at the riverside. They bring the criminal, the murderer, the one who took the life. They bind his hand and feet. They put him in a boat, and they take him to the middle of the river and drop him in. And the family of the victim is on the shore, and they have a choice to make. They can watch their enemy suffer and die, or they can swim out and rescue him. But the Ku believe that if you watch him die, you seek revenge, your period of mourning must never end. You can never put off the funeral cloth. You can ever end the mourning. But if someone from the family will swim out and rescue the one who killed their son or daughter, from that moment, the mourning is over and life can proceed. So it is for you today. You may be right, but never free. You can demand justice. You can remind God of what they did and ask for punishment. And God may do it, but you will be bound. But if you let it go and leave it to God, you will find a liberated soul. That's why God commands us in Ephesians 4:31-32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Pull up the root, cut off the fruit, and then number three, plant a new tree of righteousness by blessing your offender. Don't just let things go. Don't just let bygones be bygones, sleeping dogs lie. Do something positive to overcome the evil. For Jesus said in Luke chapter 6:27-29, but to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. When you speak well of them and bless them and pray for them, you overcome evil. For Romans 12:21 says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. And you can overcome and conquer bitterness today in your soul, in your family, and in the lives of others when you rise up to do good and bless your enemy. The problem for most of us is we say, but Pastor, I don't feel like that. I still feel angry. I still feel agitated. I still feel offended. But you don't have to feel to forgive. For feelings follow right choices. As Father's Day is celebrated today, I can't help but think about my dad. I loved him. He's a great man. 8 years ago when he died, I was so heartbroken. Every time I thought about the loss, I'd start to cry. As the years went by, sometimes if I thought of him, if I saw his picture, it would remind me of the pain and I'd feel sad all over again. But then a few years back, something happened where when I was sad about my loss, I started thinking about the good things that had happened, the good he'd done, the good man he was, the good times we had. I started remembering his smile, his infectious laugh, his hugs, his prayers. And when I focused on the good, instead of sorrow, I had joy. Joy that God had given me such a great dad. Joy that I would see him again one day in heaven. My sorrow was replaced by joy depending upon what I focused upon. I can choose to think of the loss and feel pain, or I can choose to think of the good and feel joy. If you dwell on the bad done to you, you'll feel angry. But if you dwell on the good that your Father has done for you, your forgiveness, your life, your love, if you think about the good, good Father, you'll feel the joy welling up, replacing bitterness with love and forgiveness. For you see, Romans chapter 5:5 says, "For we know how dearly God loves us." This is how we know he loves us, because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. God loves us so much, he gives us love, his love, to fill our hearts, not just for our sake, but so that that love can radiate to everyone. Several years ago, during the genocide in Rwanda, it was a terrible time of killing and violence. One devoted Christian woman lost her son, who was murdered by someone in their community, someone she didn't know. And for years after the loss of her son, even when the war ended, this Christian woman would pray, "God, reveal my son's killer. God, expose him." And then one night, as she slept, she had a dream. And in the dream, she saw Jesus calling her to come to heaven. But it was a strange path he took her on. He led her out of her house, down the street, into another house she'd never been in, somebody's house that she didn't recognize. He took her in the door and around the rooms and up the stairs and out the back door, and then he took her to heaven. And the woman turned to Jesus and said, "Whose house is this?" Jesus said, "It's the house of your son's killer." The path to heaven led through her enemy's house. A few days later, there was a knock on the door one night. She opened the door and saw a young man about the age of her own son. She didn't recognize him. So she said, "Yes." And the man said this, "I'm the one. I'm the one who killed your son. Since that day, I've had no life, no peace. So here I am. I put myself in your hands. If you want to kill me, go ahead. I've already lost my life. Throw me in jail. I'm already in prison. Torture me. I'm being tormented now. Do what you want. I'm the one." The woman had prayed for this day for years. Here she was face to face with her son's killer. But suddenly, to her surprise, she found she didn't want to kill him or imprison him or torment him. She wanted something different. So she looked at him and said, "There's one thing I want from you. Come into my home and live with me. Eat the food I would have given to my son. Wear the clothes I would have made for him. Be the son I lost." And so he did. In our own strength, that's impossible. We don't have the grace or the love in our hearts. But God does. God can fill your heart today with a love and a grace that can embrace your enemies. So pull up the root, cut off the fruit, plant a new tree of righteousness today, become an instrument of God's love, and possess a liberated soul. Shall we pray? All across this auditorium, every single one of us has been offended. Every one of us has had something done to us that hurt us, grieved us. Right now, you can make a choice. Become bitter or become better. You can store up that root that will grow into a fruit that will bring destruction. Or you can let it go. I can't know the pain you felt. I'm not minimizing the hurt. But right now, I ask you to give it to God. Pull it up and expose it. Cut off the fruit and release the offender. And ask God to fill your heart with his love. Today, maybe you're here and you have a bad relationship with your dad. It's Father's Day, but you feel pain, not joy. Give him to God right now. Forgive him. Thank God for him. The quiet of your heart, just talk to the Lord. Just say, Lord Jesus, I bring you the hurt, the pain, the sorrow, the grief. Wash me, cleanse me, heal me. Forgive me as I forgive and release those who've wronged me. Grant me your peace, your grace, and your love. Bless me today as I bless my enemies. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.